Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. And Doc, we're right in the middle of an interview with a good friend of ours who's here for Heart Conference, Dr. Tim Jordan.
Yes, how refreshing. And, you know, again, reviewing the need for good friendships, but also someone who preaches the Word with clarity, with a passion, a love for the Lord, a love for preaching and teaching the Word. And last night, the Heart Conference theme is Ye Are the Light of the World. And Dr. Jordan did just a phenomenal job of taking that phrase in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Ye are the light of the world. And what an effective way how he handled that particular theme.
For those who are listening who may not have caught our first broadcast, Tim, you are the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And you've been there for?
At the church, well, since I was one, but I've been on the staff for 30 years and the senior pastor for 20.
Okay.
And also the seminary. Why don't you explain a little bit about Calvary Seminary?
Yeah.
And it would be good also to explain the number of churches that have been planted out of that.
Okay. The seminary began actually when I was in seminary myself out this way in Minneapolis. And it grew out of a passion that my dad had as our senior pastor then for church planting. It's something he was just wired to do. And he was regularly frustrated with finding the right people to lead these churches. So there'd be people who wanted to get together in a cluster and have a church started, and that wasn't hard for us to find in the area, but then finding really reliable leadership. So that was his passion to do that. And so that's why Calvary Baptist Theological Seminary started. An opportunity came to put a faculty together, and we did. And it was about primarily preparing men to pastor churches, plant churches. And over the years, that's why the seminary started, and it has blossomed into more than that. But that was the primary focus. And over those years where my dad then could step aside from being senior pastor and give himself fully to church planting, we had started up to that time maybe 7 or 8 churches, but in that next 10, 15 years, there was about, the numbers aren't exact, but it was about another 75 or so churches that were started or restarted. Some of them were, you know, 3 people left with the building and needing some help.
And almost 100 churches is what you're saying.
Yeah, and some of those were then, the upside of that is where we still are today. And most of what we do in church planning right now is in concert with churches we've started starting churches. So the last 2 or 3 that we've been involved with is one of the churches we started 10 or 15 years ago, grown to the size. They want to start a church, and then we'll partner up and help them financially and advice-wise. And it'll be one of the graduates from the seminary that's going out, and we'll partner up. And we do most of our church planting in the past 4 or 5 years has been done that way.
Now, these churches that you've planted, are they within the state of Pennsylvania?
Most of them are northeast. But some of them are, there's been one in Washington State. Actually, there's been a few in Colorado, a few in Arizona, Carolinas, a couple. But most of them are Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, and then New England. That's where most of them are.
Why don't you mention briefly the overseas ministries as well, where you're working with seminaries overseas?
One of the things that happened in the early 90s was the coming down of the Iron Curtain. Which my kids never even knew what that was. It was such a huge event in my life.
Yeah.
And at that time, God put in our hearts that this might provide opportunity. And then a friend of a friend asked for some help, and I mentioned, yeah, we should probably go over. There was an opening to do some teaching in Romania, and we would send one of our professors over and just see if God would have us have something there to be a steward of. And so the short story is, 2 months later, I went over and we found some people to work with, and from that, extensions of our seminary have grown. And there's 2 in Armenia, there's 1 in Ukraine, there's 1 in Moscow. There we help out with church planning and preparing church planters in South Africa, in Peru, in Canada, that remote, strange country of Canada. And there would be more opportunities, just that you run out of time. And we're actually working in China as well.
So in a sense, this has been your way as a church and a seminary of being light.
Well, yeah, on one grand scheme, it's our chance to participate in helping the light of God's Word get around the world. Absolutely.
Now, you You preached a message at the opening session of this year's Heart Conference out of the passage that Doc O mentioned here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and then dropping down to verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why that? I mean, I realize you were given the topic, but I mean, why did this catch your eye?
When I was thinking about the topic and looking at that about 2 months ago and trying to think and pray and prepare for the Heart Conference, a burden that had been in my heart that is still there is that when it comes to being specific and honest and real and practical about what that means to be the light of the world, my opinion is that it seems in the circles that I'm familiar with that although what we define as light is accurate and true, that it's just too small. It's too limited. It doesn't fully engage what God's Word says. So one of the things that really struck my attention when I had studied through the Beatitudes was if we're looking for a definition of what light looks like in somebody's life, that we probably ought to look in the context.
Now, before you jump into that, I mean, I'm listening to you as a listener. I mean, me, I'm driving to work or I'm sitting in my work cubicle or I'm getting ready to go to work and I'm hearing all this, and you're talking about defining light, and you say our definition's too small. What do you mean by that? I mean, how would you say our definition of light's too small?
Perhaps one of the simplest ways of describing what light is, since God is light and we're the light of the world, is would be people hearing the truth of God and more than that, along with that, seeing Christ in us. And so showing people Christ in our life, Christ being like Christ certainly means that I would read God's Word, that I'd be a part of a local church serving Christ, that I'd live morally pure. But there are just parts of God's Word that are just as true as the other parts of God's Word that, depending on your preferences or traditions, you just don't get around too much. And one of the areas that I think we, including myself, as a conservative, which I'm not embarrassed to be, and that's who I am, one of the areas that we're not so good at is looking at living out that truth in a way that makes a difference in my neighbor's life. And really, perhaps the summarizing that in the best way I could is living in such a way that my neighbor actually can see the love of God for them in my life. Not just hear it by here's the love of God for you, here's a track, you need to be born again, but actually seeing God at work in my life and God's love for them being expressed in how I feel about my neighbor. I think the biggest obstacle for us to do that in our world today is just the incredible pace of our lives where, mm-hmm. you know, we'll witness to our neighbor because we can go over and take 5 minutes, drop off a track, but get to know them, and yet we're told to love our neighbors, care for them, mm-hmm. Let them see our lives up close and personal where they can see Christ working in our lives, get to know them well enough so we know when they're hurting and we can have sympathy for them and show them the mercy of Christ. Actually, we have time for that. We just give it away to other demands that we think are more important.
Doc, you heard the same message I heard last night. What was it that was so impacting to you? Because we both talked about this before the broadcast.
Well, Charlene was talking to me on the way back from campus, and she said, you cannot get away from the way he put that. What if your neighbor had a neighbor who, and then he went through the Beatitudes last night, as you recall. Blessed is, what if your neighbor had a neighbor who was poor in spirit.
kind of wished I'd lived somewhere with
so
the poor neighbors.
I think what he was saying by, we look at it in too small a sense.
Yeah,
that is, in other words, we always picture this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We have this little candle. But really, we are representatives of the light. When Christ created light, it dispelled darkness. Mm-hmm. The light that is dispelling the darkness in minds today has to come out of the life of believers.
Yeah.
And as a neighbor, that has to be manifested in us. And I think look at all of the areas, and I think we'll have him go through this passage as much as he can recall from what he did last night in that realm. But that is what spoke to me. That is, it comes right down to the practicality, not just the concept of light or not just this ethereal thought, but it comes, okay, am I the kind of neighbor who gives my neighbor a proper picture of my God?
Right.
That's what really it boiled down to in my mind.
And to add to that, Tim, as I heard you, I mean, what really drove it home to me, does my neighbor have a neighbor that does more than take this little light of mine and show it through wearing a suit on Sunday, carrying my Bible to church, reading my Bible every day, all of the things that we normally would associate with having a good conservative Christian testimony, which, as you pointed out, you're not saying we abandon those things, but that's not enough. The fact that we do these things isn't showing light to the neighbor. So why don't you help us see what showing light to the neighbor actually looks like? And we'll actually be doing this in two broadcasts, so don't want you to rush through it, but you just kind of show us a little bit and then maybe walk us through the Beatitudes a little bit.
I think also, let me add before he starts, what stood out in my mind, blessed are the merciful. That is, do I actually hurt for a hurting person? And that's really the empathy. Mm-hmm. I wrote in my note, empathizing as Christ did. I can sympathize. That's me picturing what you're going through. An empathizer is one who's been through it. So we have to try to picture ourselves in their shoes, and we literally hurt. And they know when we talk to them, we're hurting for them. That's not just, hey, our thoughts are with you.
Yeah.
No. That neighbor walks away and says, you know what? I really believe Tim or Les or Sam. I mean, it wasn't empty talk. They really, really hurt for the way we're hurting. And they can pick that up. That is a godlikeness that causes us to align with the empathizing Savior described in Hebrews.
Yeah, when I think of the Beatitudes that we went through, the one that convicts me the most is that one, where they would see Christ in me if they saw me care for them really. And I'm thinking as we're talking, so if I went to my neighbor, I could tell them very clearly, confidently, do you know God loves you? God certainly loves you. But if that neighbor looked me back in the eyes and said, okay, but Tim, do you love me? That would be a hard, I mean, the answer would be sure. But, you know, I think about that in relationship to my wife. You know, that would be more than just saying it. You'd have to know, do I even know them to empathize with my neighbor? And I think about my neighbors right now, and I do care for their souls. But do I know what's going on in their lives right now? And to my own, this is God's truth, to my own conviction, the answer is no. I mean, not right now.
Yeah.
There are times when I do, but right now, I am guilty of really, one of my neighbors right now was hurting. Because I'm running like 900 miles an hour, and they're both corporate people, both sides. You got two couples on both sides of your house. Both of them have jobs, running all over the world, okay? So you see them occasionally. If one of them was about to have a divorce, I wouldn't know it. Not yet. That's why I'm convicted and ready to go home. So I could tell them all about the love of Christ. But if they don't know that I love them, how are they going to see the love of Christ? That's got to overwhelm them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Well, until the next time that we're together, we trust that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. And we'll look forward to being with you when you tune in for the next broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Until then, may the Lord bless you.